Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Naked Englishman podcast. I'm Richard Vobes. It's Monday today, beginning of a new week. And off the top of my head, it must be the 16th. Yes, that is. Just checking in the Dear Diary and looking to see what is in there. Well, not too much, fortunately. Writing today. Just trying to finish the book. Very close to the end. This last chapter. Now that I've effectively edited the rest, Julia just needs to go through and read perhaps some of the mistakes that I've got. And we'll take it from there. What else? And then later in the week, we've got to be somewhere. Just trying on one of these very lovely waistcoats that was sent to me by a lady called Edith. They look a bit, some of them are just on the slightly large size, but Julia's mum reckons she can take them in, which is very brilliant. But I'm just putting it on now, because it's nice, the waistcoats are quite posh, but also they're lightweight. So, and it's, you know, middle of summer, isn't it? So, anyway, that'll do for now. Let me sit down. Let me just take. There's always bits and pieces and mess in the first thing in the morning. There's always something, isn't there? Glass or something just to take through, ready to be washed up. I've washed up. There's a few straggling things here. Yes. So thank you for the emails. A couple of people got in touch yesterday and said thank you for the profound podcast yesterday. And. One asked for me to go into what I thought philosophically more of the same. And I will. I guess these things just have to hit you at the right time. And it's usually very early in the morning. And it's usually when I'm on my own. So Julia came back yesterday and she didn't get here till, I think, 11 o'clock because she was waiting for her ex to arrive back from Birmingham, where he'd been with her elder son to see his mother. And so it was nice for Elijah to go and see his mum, of course. But she had just had to obviously wait until he came back so he could then take over on the children's duties and she was free then to leave the house and what have you. And he's unfortunately had to go to work. I say unfortunately, I mean that only from Julia's point of view, because she has to be back by just after 8 o'clock, which is she's just left, and it is seven-ish now. So I haven't really had much time with her, because by the time she came in, we had a quick chat and a cup of tea and went to bed, and then it's morning and she's gone, and it was, you know, blink and you'd miss her sort of thing. This is an intolerable existence at the moment for her particularly, but also for me, because we don't quite know where we are and we're just so desperate to find somewhere. Really and truly, she needs to find, and I don't know what to do on this. She needs to get out of the house that she's in. I have tried to think if I could have them here, the two boys, Julia and myself. Julia's got a lot of bits and pieces, and some of it can go into storage, of course. I've got a lot of stuff, and some of it could go into storage, or most of it could be thrown away. And although I brought up three children here with my wife at the time, I didn't have quite so much, didn't have the studio, it is very tricky now. And they're different ages, you know, it's different when you bring up young children of a certain age. And then when Dawn left, I was sleeping on the floor in any room, didn't matter. I didn't really have a bedroom. Julia and I would need a bedroom now. Julia would need a bedroom, and the two boys would need a bedroom. So bringing up the three kids, each had a bedroom, and I was just sleeping wherever, really, for a while. And Stanley left first. So it's just not feasible. I have tried to look, what could we do? How could we make it work? but Julia needs to leave that house. It's so depressing for her, and, you know, bag lady between two. He's got certain things he's got to do, which means that she's lumbered with the children. She's trying to homeschool them. The, you know, living with somebody you no longer respect or love is a very difficult thing, isn't it? And so I don't know what to do. We need to find somewhere for her to live, as even if it's a temporary thing, whilst we search for land. We've just got to get her out of that house. It is, in my mind, the house, it's just an evil, it's an evil place. I always felt there was something a bit weird about it, but I don't know what to do. No, I really don't. But hopefully something will come up, you know. I have asked the universe to help, the source, God, whatever, to come and assist, or that we find the land and we get away and mothball this house temporarily while we set up. But I've also got to finish this book. I've got to finish this book and then market the book and get some money in. And I don't know whether it's going to make any money. I really don't know. Or, you know, we're, like everybody else, we're finding ourselves pushed into a corner, trying to fight the system, trying not to be part of their world that they have wrapped around the true world. We want to be true to ourselves, true to the true world. We want to be honourable, we want to be respectful. We don't want to do any harm, and we don't want to be a non-person type thing. Well, I suppose in some ways we do want to be a non-person. We don't want to be one of their persons, but we don't want to be... well, we just want to get on and enjoy life for what, however long we have left on this wonderful, whatever it is. Call it a planet for the sake of argument. And that should not be so, you know, that should not be so difficult, but it does seem finding the right spot is, it just seems to be, anyway, does have its problems. But we'll keep looking. We'll keep looking. Meanwhile, you know, running a YouTube channel with no money, that I don't get paid anything. I'm eating into the savings we've got to buy the place we want to go. So hit that, you know, the quicker we can get away, the better, really. I just got to find it. And I think people think it's very easy to find the right place. And we only want to do it once. And we've got these two children to deal with. If it was just Julia and I, it would be a very different thing, because we could cope anywhere to a degree. And as long as I've got, you know, if this book goes well, I'd like to do more writing on lots of different things, fiction and I think philosophy. Well, not medical philosophy, you know, not the sort of Jung stuff and all of that, but more the, I suppose, the, maybe a bit of metaphysics, philosophy. I don't know. Maybe it's completely inappropriate to do any of that. Maybe I'm, as I said in yesterday's, it's only my interpretation, and maybe my interpretation is completely wrong, but that's how I feel, as I explained yesterday. But I do enjoy reading, and I've enjoyed the writing. It's been a challenge, I can tell you. Trying to find the words and the way to express oneself is very tricky, not easy. And when you read somebody's book, it makes it sound so simple. It seems to just, well, because they've worked on it to make it flow nice and easily. And I'm not going to claim to be a world-leading author by any means, or even a competent one, and probably an incompetent. You see? I don't know. My education was pretty crap, and I left school at 15. But that's not, you know, in terms of English literature, even though I like to read and I do enjoy writing, and also other things, is it a gift? Is it a gift? Is it one of your natural gifts? I enjoy storytelling, but you know what it's like? How do you gauge whether you're any good or not? When there are millions of books and millions of wonderful authors, how do you know that you've got any, that you've got to compete with all of those, it's a really hard thing, isn't it? And of course, I wouldn't have attempted to write this book, having written the children's books and in the past. And when I say children's books, I'm not talking Peter and Jane. And, you know, these were complex stories that I was writing. And in the end, I realised they were too intellectual for children, because children have been dumbed down to read about farts and Harry Potter stuff. So even though it was a rip-roaring, old-fashioned adventure, I suppose written for children in the 50s and 60s who were a lot more literate and open to reading and could understand concepts a little better because they weren't stuck on video screens watching computer games talking about, you know, I don't know, whatever, you know, shoot 'em up games and all this sort of crap. I realised that then it was tricky, but I wouldn't have written my book now and started this process again of writing unless I realised there was an audience, because nobody was interested in my earlier books. Nobody was interested at all. And unless you're good at marketing, and it's not my ball game, marketing, then you're stuffed. You really are, because how do you get, you know, unless for some reason a publisher picks you up. But that's all sewn up. We know that whole business is sewn up with you've got to have the right message, blah, 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 and, you know, they've got to... It's all sewn up, isn't it? It's for it's for their friends and everybody in it, and they can make lots of money by selling it. And when you're on the outside, like with television, again, television, you've got to stick to a certain narrative, you've got to adhere to them, and you've got to be prepared to give away all your rights, your copyright rights, and make no money, especially when you know. We know that these industries, these big industries that people make a comfortable living from, that is perhaps interesting, challenging and fun, to a degree, making television can be like that, it's not for the likes of me, you know, plebs like me and other people on the outside. Unfortunately, I wouldn't want to be associated with it anymore. I did my TV series, two series, in the 90s, just as the rot was already there, I can tell you that, but I think now the rot is even far worse. And if somebody came to me and said, I've read your book, Richard, want to make it into a TV series, I would be very cagey about that. I would be very, you know, because they probably could turn it into some wishy-washy, nasty, gender-crazed net zero in favour of absolute, you know, pants. So I'd probably be saying no to that. Which is a shame, because if the pendulum was to swing back and we had all this stuff, but it was for the benefit of people, it was nice, it didn't have these nasty messages in everything, if it was, you know, good, it would be interesting. It would be lovely to do it, or to make a feature film on the same subject. That would be great, but I can't see any of that happening at the moment. Not at the moment. I mean, I'm very positive for the future, but we've got to get to that point. I think the pendulum is just at the, you know, it's just reaching the extension of its swing, where we'll see all the nasty stuff. And we're seeing it. We're seeing a lot of it. And then it will start to come back. And that will be good. But we're not on that comeback journey quite yet. Doesn't seem to me to be, but you never know. It's difficult to gauge, isn't it? And also, I don't watch mainstream media, and I don't watch all the hit horror. People send me all these videos about, you know, this is the agenda, this is what they're doing to children, this is what they're doing here, we're going to be have this, and this is, and I've, you know, done that thing. I've got a vague idea what they're doing. I don't need to know the minutiae now of everything, because 50% of that, I think, is fear-mongering. I think 50% of what they say that's going to happen is just to get us to be scared, worried, and comply. And it's far easier for them to use psychological warfare to keep us down and to stop us from realizing who and what we are than to implement these things. Because, of course, implementing all of this stuff means that they've got to continue lying, and they need a lot of people to implement all this stuff. So they've got to have people on the need-to-know basis, haven't they? And whereas a bit of sight, they don't mind lying because they're not honourable. They'll lie till their cows come home. They're just not honourable. I just hope the karma catches up with them soon. Sooner rather than later. So anyway, that's cheery, isn't it? That's cheery this morning. 25 past seven it is. How long have I been burbling? Probably 15 minutes. There we go. Well, I'm going to leave this one a little opaque, as they say. So there's not much meat and bones in this one. But I will do one where I get back into the more philosophical, deeply metaphysical stuff. Today is not the day, sadly. But anyway, thank you for listening if you did. And I will no doubt chat to you tomorrow. Till then, bye for now.